All right, Ephesians 5, we're going to talk about relationships and kind of, again, in a big sweeping, broad way. And then when we come back after the holiday, we're going to back up and look a little more carefully. So here's what I want you to do. You won't use your paper yet. First, we're just going to read the text, and then I'm going to tell you what those blocks are for on your paper. So if you go to Ephesians 5 and find verse 18 is where we're going to kind of jump in. And we looked at this already kind of as a part of last week, but we're going to start here. And so the Apostle Paul writes, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." All right. When you read that big section, it's obvious, I think, where you might get a title like I titled that section. This is all about relationships. And the Apostle Paul here, inspired by the Spirit, covers every conceivable relationship. At least as far as it concerns Christians. So what we want to do is see how he does that. And in fact, you have six boxes on your paper. He covers or breaks human-Christian relationships down into seven categories. Now, you only have six boxes, so that's where your first work starts, is you got to figure out which category is not applicable to you. Some of you perhaps already can tell me that real quickly. You're not a husband. And so only six of them directly apply to you. The seventh one applies to you, but only indirectly. All right, so here we're going to go. We're going to fill out. And so you've got a little line in each of those areas. And we want to start. I want you to write in. See, mine looks like this. I'm going to write in on that line what the relationship is and then what the scripture reference is that deals with that relationship. Okay? So I'm going to help you with the first one. The first box, the first line there is fellow believers. Okay, so if you're a Christian, one of the relationships that the Apostle Paul says you have to be aware of and focus on and respond correctly to is your relationship with fellow believers. Now, what text is that in? And these are all in order. So if you go back to verse 18, really verse 19, you see it says addressing one another. It says it in verse 20, kind of continuing that. And then in verse 21, submitting to one another. So what you write in there is chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. So you have fellow believers, chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. That's the first relationship. Now, the second relationship Well, this is where your work begins, all right? So you want to fill out what the second relationship is that is directly applicable to you. Remember to skip husbands. That's the third on the list, but skip that one. And you'll end up with six relationships and the scripture references that go with them. You follow me? Okay, because you're a woman, you will not include husbands. You'll include wives. All right, so fill that out. Take a minute or two and fill that out. And then we'll see how you did. So you're actually diagramming this scripture the way you would if you were studying it on your own or if you were going to teach it. Well, you have six sections. And really, the bold lines kind of outline the section. If you use the second, you can put your title above it, or and then we're going to write inside the space. Does that make sense? No? Yeah, it's not a box. It's just six areas. Well, let's see, it's like this is one area between those two lines. Two areas,
and then husbands and
well, I think I did it wrong, but it's confusing. I'm sorry, I should have made that a whole box right there. So there's six spaces on there. Yeah, it's obvious when somebody shows it to you, but it wasn't so intuitive at first. It looks like all of you have got it out of order, but that's okay. As long as you get to the six spaces, there are six areas on there. So you're looking for the type of relationship and the scripture section that goes with it. Everybody got it? Pretty much, pretty close. So if you don't have it, you can fill it up while we go through it. Fill it up while we go through it. So the first one I gave you already is fellow believers, and that's 5:19-21. So everybody got that one right. You should have. The second one that he deals with is wives. He speaks about to women about their relationship with their husband. So he starts it by saying wives. Now, that starts with verse 22 of chapter 5. So 5:22, and it runs through what? 24. Everybody got that part right, but then it picks up again, and it's in verse 31-33, where he really addresses husbands and wives together. So you want to have there 5:22-24, and then verse 31-33. That's the second relationship. Third relationship is who? Children. All right, so now, if you're not married here, then you might think, well, the wives doesn't apply to me, so you could have left that out. But generally speaking, he's addressing to women, assuming they're married. And now everybody has to put children because all of you are a daughter. You were all a daughter, and he's talking about how you should relate to your parents. Now, that's in what verses is that in, children? 6:1-3. We'll get back to that. We're talking about human relationships, okay? And there's seven of them all together. All right, we're ready for the fourth one. The fourth one is parents. Now, your Bible says fathers, and that's a typical way of communicating about a family, and you would be hard-pressed to find any commentator that wouldn't say that word is better rendered parents. Said fathers. So you were trying to find that sixth one, weren't you?
Yep.
Well, it's parents. And that's one verse, chapter 6, verse 4. No wonder we all struggle with parenting. We got one verse in the whole Bible, right? No wonder it's so hard. Okay, what's the next relationship? Bondservants, slaves, or make it more modern? Employees or worker. Now, some of the men on Friday said, why does he deal with marriage twice? And I had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, well, you know, I'm a slave to my wife, and so now I have more instructions. Now, you might say the same thing, right? I'm a slave to my husband, and so why did he put marriage twice? Well, he didn't. He's talking about employees.
What husband was that?
I'm not going to say. Now, that's chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. That's chapter 6, 5 through 8. Of course, your husband wasn't here, so you have nothing to fear. And by inference, Christy knows it wasn't me because I said a student. So beyond that, I'm not saying. All right, what's the last relationship he deals with? Master or employer. And that's one verse, chapter 6, verse 9. Okay, so now, if you haven't entirely ruined your papers because I got your lines all wrong. Yes, Christy?
I have one question. Verse 20 gives us direction to give thanks to God.
verse 20. You're talking about up in chapter 5? Yeah, we'll get to that. That's kind of like it deals with the relationship of Christ to the church. But all right, if you take this whole context then, you follow me? He's got seven relationships. He says, Christians, here's how you should relate to one another. Wives, here's how you should relate to your husbands. Husbands, here's how you should relate to your wives. Children, here's how you should relate to your parents. Parents, here's how you should relate to your children. Employees, this is how you should relate to your employers. And employers, this is how you should relate to your employees. There really is not any relationship you have that wouldn't fit into one of those categories as a Christian. Now you might say, well, I have an unbelieving cousin, and it's not on here. But again, the context is, in a local church, these are the relationships that you might enjoy one to another in a local church, broken down into their important categories. Now here's what the rest of the box is for. Here's what I want you to do. We're not going to like fully diagram this because we're just getting a general overview. But what I want you to do now is go back and look at those verses. And if you want to, you can work with a person across from you, or you can do it. You can like do it all alone. Doesn't matter. But feel free to talk about this. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down. All right, this is not out of the Bible. This is from you. In your relationships with fellow believers, what is your greatest challenge? All right, so you're looking for one or two things that really challenge you in your relationship with fellow believers. Then do it for all of them. What really challenges you? What do you find most challenging in your relationship to your husband? Like, don't get personal, like, you know, he's a bum, and not that kind of stuff. But just generally speaking. And then all of you, like me, right, you're more than 25 or 20 or 18. And so think about now, what is the most challenging thing now in your relationship with your parents, or if they've passed, what was it in their latter years, okay? What's challenging? I don't mean what do you struggle with, but just think of the relationship. Where do the challenges come up? And do that for all of them, all right? So you have six areas of relationships. You say, well, I don't work for anybody. Well, then think about people who do work for people, or maybe the person sitting across from you has a job or has had a job. So we're looking for challenges, and you might want to just make a little star or something in those boxes to enumerate your challenges. Yeah, this is your space here. Okay, so all we're looking for is challenges, and then mark those challenges like with a star, because after that we're going to have something else in the box, and you'll mark it with something different, like a check mark or something. Okay, don't like overthink this, because we'll run way out of time. But when we come back on January 4th, you won't remember anything. So we want to do this kind of just generally, what challenges you in these relationships? Let's throw a few of these out of here. So in your relationship with fellow believers, what do you find particularly challenging, other than the fact that they're human beings? So in both cases, really, you've got the challenge of time, and you've got the challenge of being intentional about it. And mark what Becky said. God put that person in your path today, right? So don't ever treat that lightly. Anybody else? A challenge with other believers. Okay, let's do the next one. What particular challenge comes to mind in your relationship with your husband? Christy can't answer, but everybody else is free. No. Just in a general way. Okay. Yes. Expectations, meeting his expectations. And you said what? What is your greatest challenge in your relationship with your husband? Now, it could be you, that you're challenged.
Mine is listening,
because
he's technical.
Listening, yeah, because he talks up here. Yeah. Okay, who else? Greatest challenge or a challenge that in your relationship with your husband? So we have listening and being patient with the fact that he moves like a snail and he just won't make a decision, because that's men, right? Apathy is probably the singular most defining negative characteristic of a man according to Scripture. They tend to be apathetic. So that's a different challenge, right? Slowing my husband down. That's the same thing said another way. Okay, let's move. Okay, wait, Joy, did you have one?
Yeah, I can't keep up.
Can't keep up with your husband. All right, now you are all daughters. You are all daughters, so I don't really want to know what your challenge was, like when you took cookies out of the cookie jar. But now, in your relationship with your parents now, or maybe before they passed, what's challenging in your relationship with your parents? Well, and you might say, if you know, when we do get to the text in a few weeks, you're describing what is my responsibility, and at the same time still do what the text says, honor them. How do I honor them while I try to fix them? Or correct them, or guide them.
Correct them.
Yeah, it's a real challenge. It's a significant challenge as you grow older. Anybody else want to throw one on the table there? So you can be taking notes and adding these to your list, obviously, if you're thinking about that. Now, as a parent, what comes to your mind? What is the challenge as a parent? What challenges you in your relationship with your children? Yeah, that is, you know, I think all of us, if some of your kids are too young to relate to that, but a significant challenge is now they're adults. And really what we'll talk about, I'll just mention it here, is just to kind of put a capsule around what Missy said, it's how do I transition from them being my children to being my sister in Christ or my brother in Christ? Because now the relationship paradigm changes and my responsibilities change and how I relate to them changes. And see, it's much harder for you as mothers than it is for us as fathers because, again, back to what I said earlier, we're apathetic about the whole thing anyway. I didn't worry about them when they were little. Why should I start worrying about them now? Now, Christy, you had one before Missy spoke. Okay, let's do employee. How many of you work or have worked outside the home? Because he's talking about in the marketplace now. He's moving us into the marketplace. He's not assuming we're all in the marketplace, but you might think this way. If you don't work or haven't worked, like, you know, in your married life, how would this in any way apply to you? And I would just say, use the word marketplace. What is challenging for you when you walk out into the marketplace to go to Aldi and buy your groceries? Or so you are not an employee in that scenario, but just maybe it'll help you to find a relevance in this context. Because he really is talking to believers now, and he says, here's relationships with one another in the church. Here's relationships with your husband as a believer. Here's your relationship with your wife as a believer. And now here's a relationship as believers who have children. And now he takes us into the marketplace. And he uses the general term employee or slave. So what's the challenge there? Yeah, that's good. Be aware. You might use that word. You need to be aware. And that's a challenge. It's easy to get in your own little bubble, move through your own little world, bump into people, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I didn't see you. Well, you're not really paying attention. And I mean that in a deeper way. Avoid, yeah. Avoidance. It's huge. We talked about that a lot. The men brought that up on the relationship with fellow believers. And we talked about it also in here, if you remember, ladies, last week. This being patient with one another does not mean avoiding them. It means how do I exercise patience with them? And because most of us practice very, very highly defined and refined avoidance. We're really, really good at it. Yeah, and you know, really, all that observation is the fundamental Christian principle that we all have to learn to govern in our lives, and that is, how do we live as sheep among wolves? Because that it applies to every time we step out of the safe confines of our church or our home. How now do I live as a sheep among wolves? Because it's a huge challenge. Yeah, and so when you think down that path, here's another basic Christian principle: being in the world but not of the world. I mean, if we as Christians don't take some time to think about what that means, then we're not going to do well in it. So we have to consider that. And then the last one is an employer. How many of you have employees? Any of you? Are you a boss? Were you ever a boss? So as an employer, it's a real challenge when you see people who lack work ethic, lack of discipline. Now most of you are not employers, but you do serve or have served in a position where you had authority over other people. It could even have been a classroom. It could be serving on a committee. It could be because you're like, you know, the chief of the hospitality team. You know, what are the challenges when you're leading other people? So that'll help you expand into this conversation because most of you aren't bosses. Challenges when you're leading other people. You want to control them, yeah. And, you know, you start to see when she says that, you start to see how all these relationships, you know, they're kind of interwoven. The same things we might say about our children, letting them be them and letting them make those mistakes. Really hard to do that as a boss. Somehow you think the consequences are higher. They're really not, right? The worst thing can happen is you can lose some money. But really difficult letting people be themselves, letting them accomplish the task, especially if you're kind of a control freak anyway. And you don't ever, it's really difficult for a person like that to understand that they are limiting the productivity and possibilities of their company because they won't let people fail and use their gifts and find their way, so to speak. Really, really hard to do that, though. It's easy to say it. Really hard to do that. All right, so we listed a few of the challenges. We're almost out of time. So we've got to do this really quickly because I want to send you off with where we're headed in this text. Now, use a check mark or a star or whatever. I probably should have used an X for these and then a star for the next list. What is the most rewarding aspect of these relationships? What do you just love about the fact that you get to intersect with other believers? What do you just really, really benefit from in your intersection with your husband? And write down the list. Just write one for the sake of time. What do you think? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think, I'm blessed to have this relationship?
Now, Jessica has us, you know, we record these, if I don't forget to turn the microphone on. So this will be a great one to listen to later, all these moments of silence. Say, what, do you go to sleep? What are they doing in there? All right, let's do this real quickly. So let's start with fellow believers. What's just a great joy and a blessing in your relationship with fellow believers? Anybody? Friendship. Learning. Encouragement.
Worshiping.
Yeah, what a great joy that is to worship with other believers. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, let's do, what's next? Husbands. As a wife, what do you think of in the blessing of having a husband, or maybe even if your husband's passed, what do you reflect on?
Love.
That was easy. Relationship with your children. No, wait, relationship with your parents is first. As a child, the joy of having a relationship with your parents. Now, one of the challenges that nobody mentioned with parents, which becomes relevant, I'm thinking of Julie here, is and Ruth, is distance, right? It's not uncommon as you grow older. You don't grow distant in relationship, but they're not here. They live geographically distant, and that's a significant challenge. How often should I be there? When should I be there? Those kind of things. But now, conversely, one of the great blessings is if they're close. So on both of those, you could just have put the word proximity. It's a great challenge and a great blessing. And then you can decide how much distance you want to put between you and them. It's up to you. Okay, now your relationship with your children. What's the joy, the blessing? You know, most of you, if you've raised children that are older, you can relate to this. You have that reflection of when I was the most important thing to them and the least important thing to them and then the most important thing to them again. Because it kind of comes around in that circle. Okay, so you step out into the world. What's the blessing out there in the marketplace? Money, if you're working. And really, almost all of your intersections with the marketplace will have as in view money, which is why the Bible has so much to say about how we are to relate to money, because that's our point of contact in the marketplace. You're spending or buying or earning or saving, all of it. It always connects back to money. And as Christians, generally, we do really poor in this area. We don't understand it, and we just don't do well. Now, as a leader in any capacity, so you're leading in some way, an employer perhaps, what's a great joy in that? Yeah, get to kind of celebrate when they accomplish something they didn't think they could accomplish, and you had some part in leading them to do that. Like driving? Yeah, Marjorie, how's that working out? Driving, the whole driving thing. It's going good, huh? All right, now here's the deal, ladies. Whether it's the challenge or the blessing in any of these relationships, we got to back up, and we have to realize that I can't face the challenges, and I really can't embrace the blessing as God would have me because I'm in the way. You know, the one thing that's common to all of these relationships is you, and if you properly reflect on it, you're probably the big part of the challenge, and maybe you take way more credit for the success than you should, but you're in the middle of that. And that's not, and it's not then by chance why Paul begins this section with verse 18. And verse 18 is a command. And he says, be filled with the Spirit. Because if you are not filled with the Spirit, your relationships will stink. They will be far more challenging than they need to be, and they will not enjoy the blessing that he intends. And so in that imperative, be filled with the Spirit, the Christian finds the key to his or her, in your case, to you ladies, to your all of your relationships. The key to all of your relationships is wrapped up in that command, be filled with the Spirit. And much like I just threw the caveat out there regarding money, Christians are woefully misinformed or poorly informed about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And so I just want to challenge you that if all of your relationships that you'll enjoy in a variety of ways between now and when we're back together and January the 4th, right, through Christmas. All of those relationships, what's key to all of them is being filled with the Spirit. And now you're going to have to go into this Christmas holiday not knowing what that means, maybe. Or maybe you'll spend some time thinking, God, if this is how I relate to one another, help me to understand what that means. I mean, that it would be hard to imagine any command spoken into the life of a believer that is more significant than the command to be filled with the Spirit, when you now understand that in this text, it opens up the door to all of these relationships. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back. We'll back up to verse 18 and try to spend a couple of weeks understanding what that means and what it doesn't mean, especially relevant for us in this kind of charismatic Christianity context that most of us are aware of going on all around us, which abuses what that means. So we need to know what it really means, what it doesn't mean, and then in that begin to realize how we can better respond to these challenges in these relationships and then more greatly enjoy the blessings of them. So that's what we're going to do after the holiday. So Merry Christmas to all of you. I'll see most of you again before Christmas, but thanks. And we'll be back here January 4th.